Cincinnati restaurants could soon be included in an upcoming edition of the prestigious Michelin Guide. What could that mean for the local food scene and for the region? This is Cincinnati Edition on WBXU. I'm Lucy May. Joining me now to discuss this are Cafe Mochico co-owner Eric Benz, Sudova owner and chef Sarah Dworak, Cincinnati Inquirer food and dining writer Keith Pandolfi, and Visit Cincy interim president and CEO Julie Kirkpatrick. Thank you all for being here today.
Thanks for having us.
It's great to be here.
Keith, explain what the Michelin Guide is and how long it's been around.
Well, it's been around since 1900.
Pretty long time.
Pretty long time, yeah. It started in France where Michelin, a tire company, was trying to encourage more people to travel by car. So they started putting together these guides of restaurants. I don't know what they looked like back then, but maybe they were just recommended, or I don't know when the star system began. But that's how long ago it started, and it was to get people to drive more. It came to the United States in 2005, which is pretty recent.
Yeah.
It started in New York, followed by, I believe, California. And over the years, they've just been adding more regions to the guides. And luckily, this year, the new guide comes out, I believe, in 2008.
2028?
I'm sorry.
Yeah. 2027.
That's right. Wait, am I in college? Wait. No, 2028. And we will hopefully get a couple mentions in there.
Yeah.
There's several different designations. There's the star system, of course. Then there's something called the Bib Gourmand, which is it's a very distinguished award that is given to restaurants that just are, they don't have to be high end. They don't have to be, they just have to be doing their food right, from what I believe. Then there's a recommended column, which is, very good restaurants, but, not in the star category.
Gotcha. Well, and Keith, this is different from the stars that the Maisonette won for all those years in a row. I think people who've been around here a long time remember that the Maisonette had 5 stars for like 41 consecutive years. This is different from that?
Yeah, that was our claim to fame for a long time. And it wasn't just the Maisonette. We had the Gourmet Room and Pagals, which also had several. I don't know if they were all. I think they were all 5-star restaurants for a little while. Mm-hmm. And I remember everybody saying that we had more mobile-starred restaurants in New York City. And this is back when French cuisine was king here in town. And, they were all basically French restaurants. The mobile guide, that started in the 1950s. And it was sold to Forbes magazine, I'm going to say, in the past 15 years. We don't have any, I guess they'd be called Forbes star restaurants. We're not in the Forbes travel guide at all, except for the Lido Hotel, which is in the recommended category without any stars. So we don't have any of those anymore. I don't know how important they are to chefs in these days, but the Michelin guide is where it's at, I would say.
Yeah. Well, Eric, how big a deal is it for a restaurant to get a Michelin designation? I mean, how important is that for chefs, for restaurant owners?
Well, I think when you're looking at like the 1-star status, that's like the goal of every chef, cook, whatever. I mean, every cook wants to work in a restaurant that has a 1-star rating for the most part. So it was always a little disappointing coming up in Cincinnati and cooking that like we had nothing here that could ever be 1-star Michelin status as far as like the guide went, so always we would look to Cincinnati Magazine for like that top 10 ranking. That was always the thing that we'd be like, who's going to get number one this year? Who's going to get number one? A chef that's like opening a restaurant, let's say like Chicago or something of that sort, like their goal is to get that 1 Michelin star, because you're not, I mean, there are cases that you would get 2 stars right from the rip, but for the most part, you kind of start at 1 star and grow, like Smith in Chicago, which is now 3 stars. And I think it might've gotten best in the US recently. Like they started at 1 star and they've worked their way up. It's funny because my wife and I went to eat there a long time ago and it was when they had 1 star, and it's just grown and grown and grown. And now it's the best restaurant in the US by some some rating systems, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I mean, does that put a lot of pressure on chefs going for that star?
And— oh, yeah. It's, I mean, it just raises a lot of tension in the kitchen, you know, because you don't have the room for error that you used to, you know? If a cook's not doing something exactly the way you like it, you're a lot more likely to let him know when you think that you're going for one Michelin star, you know?
Yeah. What about for you, Sarah? I mean, how big a deal is that? How much pressure does it put on you? Because you don't know which of these people eating in your restaurant could be one of these sneaky judges, right?
Yes. Yeah. I would say that I'm not, again, I'm talking to Keith about, you know, when I heard that Michelin was coming here. I believe that I'm not sure if Sudova would be in that type of category, but I think that other restaurants would, getting a star, right, would just make our whole community so much stronger, mm-hmm. right? It would just bring more people into the city. So I'm really excited about that.
Now, why don't you think Sudova would be in that? Because, I mean, I'm going to say I've eaten there. It's really good.
Well, thank you so much. But this is, you know, Sudova, I would say, is kind of like mid-level. But again, we're serving Ukrainian food that's elevated, but it's not overly, not the word stuffy, but it's, when I've been to two one-star restaurants, and it is just this beautiful choreography, and it's a show that is very precise. And so that's not exactly what we do at Sudova, but, you know.
Yeah.
There are definitely restaurants in this city that do that.
Yeah. But Keith, isn't it supposed to just all be about the food, like how good the food is, or do I not misunderstand what these ratings are all about?
That's a good question. They say it's about the food. If you go to the Michelin website, it says it's not about the atmosphere. It's not about the service. It's about the food. I would imagine that if they walked into a restaurant and the service was atrocious or, you know, that might not go well. But yes, it is supposed to be about the food, which is why I included you on my list of both Eric and Sarah on my list of potential Bib Gourmand or one star possibilities in this city.
Yeah. We're talking about how Cincinnati restaurants could soon be included in the Michelin Guide and what that recognition could mean for the region. Do you have questions or comments or maybe a favorite place that you think should be in the guide? Give us a call at 513-419-7100 or you can email talk@wvxu.org. So, Julie, what do you think makes Cincinnati's restaurant scene worthy of consideration for the Michelin Guide? It is a really big deal. What puts us on the map?
It's a big deal. And I think that, again, what our, and I call them artists, what our artists are doing in their restaurants is just elevating our story. It's elevating it nationally. It's elevating it internationally. So when Michelin was looking at doing this Great Lakes Guide, we absolutely knew we had to be part of it because Cincinnati's culture is one of feeding. It is one of artistry. So all of that together, it also supports all of our international efforts, what we're doing in London, what we're doing in Paris. We have other targets on the map, of course. So being part of Michelin, it honors everyone that is working so hard in this culinary industry in our region, but also because we deserve it. We absolutely deserve that recognition. It was really important to us.
I will say my husband's a total foodie and he does a lot of traveling from time to time for his job. And he's always happy to come home. And he's like, I miss the food here. Mm-hmm. There's so much good food. Sudova, Cafe Mochico are two places we visit quite a bit. So
it absolutely. And that brings visitors to our region.
Yeah.
And there are so many people that travel for the experience and for the performance of being around other people that love great food and having great food brought to them.
Yeah. Julie, you mentioned that Visit Cincy was convinced, hey, Cincinnati needs to be part of this Great Lakes Guide. As I understand it, tourism and marketing organizations pay to have the Michelin Guide consider their communities. Restaurants, can you explain that system, how it works? And it's not a guarantee, right?
Right. By no means is it a guarantee, but visibility, however you're doing it in a region, it does have a cost. So whether it was if we had one Sundance and brought it here, it would have had a cost. There is absolutely a marketing cost to our British Airways flight to London. There will be a cost if we're lucky enough to get the NFL draft. So this is another marketing cost that we think is very, very important to elevate a lot of creatives that are doing amazing things in the region. So it makes great sense. Other cities, Indianapolis, Detroit, Cleveland, all of us are contributing to make sure that these artists get their fair share and get their fair due.
Okay. Eric, you're an artist. I keep hearing Julie say
I've never,
you are.
I've never described myself that way, but yeah. I appreciate it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you were talking about how going for that star or multiple stars mm-hmm. adds pressure. Once a restaurant achieves that, can it bring in more business or even help you attract or retain the talent you want because people want to work in a one-star restaurant?
For sure. I mean, you're going to be packed after that happens. But also, then standards become much, much higher and you have to buy much more expensive produce and then everything's trimmed more and you have more waste because you're like, this isn't nice enough to go on the plate. That's just going to go to staff meal, you know? So then life just gets a lot more expensive at that point. So it's kind of like you got to weigh your expenses and your labor and all that jazz. But as far as like being swamped, yes, you'll be swamped and you're going to feel good in that sense that everybody wants to eat at your restaurant. But it also, it's just pressure and pressure weighs on you, you know?
Yeah.
Is that worth it always? Yes, before you have it. I mean, I've never had a Michelin star, but I can only imagine that someone that has it is like, they're like, oh no. Then the pressure's really on at that point, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Sarah, do you even want it? Hearing about all the pressure?
I would say that, you know, the thing with Michelin as well is you have to continue to, like, you get, you have to earn it again. It's not something that's like one and done. Mm-hmm. So that would keep pressure on. But I would say any recognition by Michelin for a Ukrainian restaurant would mean the world to me. That, you know, that is why I do this.
Yeah.
Yes.
Do you think it would help you kind of attract and retain the talent you want at your restaurant?
Yes. And even with the James Beard nomination, that already did that as well.
Yeah.
So, and we're continuing to see the effects of that nomination. And we've just seen this whole year has been great. And it's been a lot of fun.
Well, good.
Yeah.
Good. Well, we're going to continue our conversation after a short break. And later in the program, the challenges Asian American youth and families face when it comes to mental health. This is Cincinnati Edition. You're listening to Cincinnati Edition on WVXU. I'm Lucy May. We're back with our conversation about how Cincinnati restaurants could soon be included in the Michelin Guide and what that recognition could mean for the region. My guests are Sudova owner and chef Sarah Dworak, Cafe Mochico co-owner and chef, he doesn't want to say that, but he's an artist and chef, Eric Benz, Visit Cincy interim president and CEO Julie Kirkpatrick, and Cincinnati Inquirer food and dining writer Keith Pandolfi. You can join the conversation by calling 513-419-7100, or you can email talk@wvxu.org. Keith, before the break, Julie was talking about just Cincinnati as a food scene and how we've become known for that in so many ways. What do you think inclusion in the Michelin Guide could mean for the region, for the food scene here?
I mean, the big thing is I think it would draw more talent to the city. I think we have so many great chefs, but a lot of times they don't have the staff that they need to really execute at the level that they want to. I think that would be huge. Yes, it would bring in tourists, but no doubt about that, regionally. And then I'm sure there's people that just make a point of going to every Michelin star restaurant in every city. And just bragging rights, honestly, it would be huge for us to get this. Before I came to Cincinnati, I just never thought I didn't know Michelin would ever come here. You know, it just was a New York thing. And the fact that Julie was able to wrangle it and get it here is just amazing to me. I'm really excited about it. But, you know, we're as good as Cleveland, no doubt about that. Or no offense, Sarah, I know you grew up around that area.
No,
the other
shame.
Cities in the group are Indianapolis and Cleveland and Detroit. And they're all great food
cities. Pittsburgh's in there too,
Pittsburgh's
right?
And they're all wonderful food cities. So just for this region too, it's a really great opportunity for us.
Yeah, I don't want to start any fighting words, but my older daughter lived in Pittsburgh for about 5 years, and she was always excited to come home to eat in Cincinnati, to let her dad take her out to dinner in Cincinnati. So, Sarah, you talked about this a little bit before, but
How do you think Michelin Guide inclusion would reflect on the food scene here? I mean, you're being all modest, being like, I don't know if Sudova would qualify. I get that. But what do you think having some Cincinnati restaurants in the guide would mean for us?
I mean, it would put us, you know, on the map. That it would be, you know, like we were saying earlier, it will bring more people to the city specifically to eat at these restaurants. And maybe they might discover even ones that don't have a rating, right? So I think it's great for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Eric, Sarah mentioned her James Beard nomination a little bit earlier, which I'm going to highlight because you kind of mentioned it in passing. Your restaurant also was nominated for a James Beard Award, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. Okay. So how did that nomination raise the bar? Did you feel like it raised the bar for Cafe Mochico? How do you think that kind of compares to possible inclusion in the Michelin Guide?
I mean, I think we pretty much kept doing what we were doing at that point. You know, it was exciting. There was a lot more pressure in a sense that there's a lot more people coming in. When there's, I think it could be the local articles that help more than the actual like James Beard Award. You know, when Keith makes an article about these people are nominated for a James Beard Award, that's what people see. And they're like, oh, I need to go there. Not as much as like, they're not getting on Eater or Chicago and being like, this is the James Beard nominees. But yeah, when that happened, we just had a lot more pressure to make sure everything was going to be good. Because if it wasn't, there's going to be a lot of people that have super high expectations when they come in. And there's nothing worse than someone waiting 45 minutes for a table. And then they just have a meal that's pretty good. No, it's not great. Because if it's not great, it's going to be, they're going to let, sorry, I'm not the best with words with these things. If they just get a good meal, they're going to say it was pretty bad, you know? Yeah. It doesn't really, like, it's got to be, doesn't have to be that exceptional level, but it's got to be great, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Do you find, does that come down to, like, Yelp reviews and stuff that people take out their frustrations on these different apps?
Yelp reviews and Google are always going to be brutal, you know? But it is what it is. My wife looks into them a lot more than I do. Yeah. I don't read them at all.
I don't read them either.
I don't read the good ones. I don't read the bad ones, you know? So, I mean, if someone's ever upset in the restaurant, I take a big part of that I go out there and I kind of do whatever we can. We try to say we understand we are wrong. We try to give them something on the house sort of thing, you know, because it's about the experience, you know, and we want them to come back.
Yeah. Yeah. Sarah, did that James Beard nomination for you, for your restaurant, did that increase the pressure? Did that feel like it raised the bar? You said it brought good things. It brought good attention and business and all that.
I wanted to, we started out the beginning of 2026 saying, you know, how can we make things more, like, better, just a little more better? How can we tighten things up? And then when the nomination came out, it was like, oh my goodness, because we already started off the year wanting to do that. So we were moving in that direction. And so when there were more eyes on us, I feel like we were ready for them. And yeah, it was an exciting time.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. Julie, do you have thoughts about what you think sets Cincinnati's restaurant scene apart from the other Great Lakes cities that Keith was talking about that mm-hmm. will be part of this Great Lakes guide?
I absolutely do. And I want to say that Sarah and Eric are part of that, but they're also so humble. And it is time
for... It's frustrating, isn't it?
It's time for us to swagger. It is time for us to own Cincinnati's trajectory. I mean, 3 James Beard nominees. I know some people wanted to potentially write some articles that we weren't winners. We are winners. I mean, 3 nominations. Indianapolis cannot claim that. Pittsburgh cannot claim that. It is time for us to claim and own where we are in this space. I am just impressed every day by the chef's community, how they support each other, they celebrate each other. It is not cutthroat. I've seen that in other areas. It is just so everybody lifting together. But the one thing I would say is it's time to swagger. And it's time to be incredibly proud of where we are and so excited about where we're going.
Yeah. What do you think, Keith? You want to weigh in on that? What sets us apart?
I can't see Sarah ever swaggering. You know, you're the most humble person I know.
But he did say, I remember the day after the awards, he said, just understand what a big deal it was to be there. and to be, and so I, because I didn't know at the end, you know, we didn't win. It was still exciting to be there, but it's like, what does this mean?
Yeah.
For,
but it means you're awesome. Yeah.
And there was an energy this year in Chicago at the James Beard Awards. I was there too. That it was just a fun time. Yeah. Sarah got to meet a lot of her heroes. I think when any chef goes to Chicago for the Beards, they're going to be seeking out certain chefs, certain restaurants, certain people that they want to meet. And the other thing I should mention is that when we get these Beard, whether it's a semifinalist or it's a finalist, I get so many calls from the food critics, from the New York Times, from the LA Times. They've been in town. You know, they come here. And I get to kind of show them around, tell them where to go.
Your turf.
Yeah, it's my turf, man.
See, there's that swagger. Yeah. That's what I'm talking about.
I don't like people parachuting in and doing their thing. That's right. But it has given us so much more national media attention, those Beard nominations. And I was reading a story in The Spectator, London, out of London, about Cincinnati yesterday. And it said something like, you know, if these three restaurants don't get Michelin stars, I'm gonna be personally take it to them, you know.
Wow.
So even in London, you know, this is getting some mentions.
Okay. Well, we do have a caller on the line. Uh-oh. Hey, Monica, thanks for calling. What's your question or comment?
My comment is that we were so saddened here in Dayton to hear that Café Boeuf was closing, and that's the last of the great Jean Robert's longtime fine dining legacy in Cincinnati. Just wondered if your panelists had any comments. I think had Jean Robert continued, he definitely would have been, his work would have been definitely worthy of a Michelin star. And I did send an earlier comment, and I've got to put a plug in for Resonant, a new fine dining restaurant here in Dayton. The talented chefs who own that restaurant are aiming for a Michelin star, and our food critic in the Dayton Daily News Sunday said that they are definitely worthy of one. So don't forget the Michelin guide potential for the Dayton region. We've got great restaurants up here.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thanks, Monica. Thank you. Keith, what do you think about that? Jean Robert, I mean, he was part of that Maisonette legacy that we talked about, right? Many years ago when he was the head chef at the Maisonette when it was still around.
Yeah. Thanks to Jean Robert, we have so many chefs still working today that worked for him. His legacy will continue for a long, long time. And I think that we're moving in a different direction. You know, when Jean Robert was here, when he started here, we were all about, like I mentioned earlier, French cuisine. And it's not that French cuisine, we still have some great French restaurants. We have Colette, we have Luca, places like that. But it's not just it's not about the cuisine so much as it is about the technique that you learn under a great chef, the techniques that you learn. And I think he taught so many great chefs, again, here in Cincinnati. And I hope, you know, I want murals painted of him all over town. I don't want anybody to ever forget Jean Robert. Just a great human being.
Yeah, that's lovely.
And also, I really love Dayton, but I should throw that in there. Okay. Dayton caller, big fan of Dayton.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah, we're going to say mean things about Cleveland and Pittsburgh, but not Dayton.
Not Dayton.
Yeah. No. Well, Keith, you mentioned this earlier. You highlighted 12 Cincinnati area restaurants that you suggested the Michelin star judges should check out. Tough question. How many do you think might actually end up in the guide? I'm not going to ask you to name names because you can't be picking your favorites, especially with two people on the list here sitting in the room with you. But
I mean, Sarah and Eric, no doubt, will be on this. I've got maybe 2 stars. No, yeah. I think it's going to be I'll be really happy if we get a star, 1 star. Amazing. Some bib gourmands. That would be great. I mean, I'm not thinking we're either going to come out with 5 restaurants that each get a star or anything like that. Yeah. But who knows? There's places that have received stars that I've been surprised, or Bib Gourmand Awards in other cities that have really surprised me. They're just very casual barbecue places, very good barbecue places, meat in 3 places. So who knows?
Yeah.
I'm really curious. I have no idea.
Yeah. We have another caller on the line. Hey, Spencer, thanks for calling. What's your comment?
So I kind of want to piggyback on the exact same words that were coming out just a second ago. Well, I think we have really creative chefs that are doing some interesting things. I've done done about 12 Michelin star meals. And one thing that I see lacking in the Cincinnati food scene is the level of service, especially on the 2 and 3 star scale. I don't think that we have anything that is of that level. And I just love to hear their thoughts on the service side, because it's not just the food. It is a level of taking care of. You know, they watch you. They've noticed that I'm left-handed and reverse the plate settings. These are the things that I've noticed at Michelin restaurants. And I don't know if we're there yet, as much as I'd love for us to be there.
Hmm. Okay. Well, thanks, Spencer. Anybody want to weigh in on that?
Yeah, you should weigh in.
My thoughts on that. I'm biased because I worked at Boca for a long time. And I think that Boca has service that is on a level of all these Michelin star places, the 1 star at least. I mean, Boca's definitely not your cutting edge place that's going to have these new crazy flavors. It's got all the classics. But as far as like taking care of the guests and the place settings and all that, I think that Boca is 100% on that service level. You know, I haven't eaten there in a while. But just historically, I think that because they always kind of have these kind of like places that aren't necessarily the cutting edge places, but they're kind of historical, high level, great service restaurants. I think that Boca is one of those that is like kind of possibly could get 1 star as far as like it's the Maisonette. It's a beautiful restaurant. The service, outstanding. The food, very, very high level. You know, there's places in Cincinnati that might have slightly better food, you know, not many. But I think that they really are kind of that wild card that could end up on there, you know.
Yeah, okay.
For sure.
Well, thanks, Spencer. We appreciate your call. And Julie, when are we going to find out? When are we going to find out who makes the cut?
Well, as we understand, the inspectors are out in the field right now. We do not have that confirmed, but we hear through the grapevine. As I understand, there will be an announcement in 2027. The inaugural guide will be coming out. And then, of course, there'll be another guide in 2028. And we hope to keep this partnership going for many, many years. So that gives everyone a runway. And we'd love to see new talent growing in this region as well.
Okay. Well, I've been talking with Cafe Mochico owner and chef Eric Benz, co-owner and chef, Sudova owner and chef Sarah Dworak, Cincinnati Inquirer food and dining writer Keith Pandolfi, and Visit Cincy interim president and CEO Julie Kirkpatrick. Thank you all so much for your time today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks.
Up next, the challenges Asian American youth and families face when it comes to mental health. This is Cincinnati Edition.